Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
You can sit down if you'd like. Go ahead, you can sit down. Know this. Know that God sees your heart. He sees everything going on in your life, and He cares about you. And you know what? Sometimes even in the hard things that you're going through, He's saying, are you going to give me praise? Are you going to worship me for who I am and what I've done for you? Are you ready to receive what I've got for you? Ooh, hallelujah. It feels good in here today, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. It must have been those last two guys that preached in here for me. Hallelujah. Man, the guys left an anointing in the building. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Yeah, come on, man. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your prayers for Rosie and I and my son. And continue to pray for us. We need lots of help. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you know for a fact that you can do nothing without Jesus? Do you know that? There is nothing that we can do without Him. But when we yield ourselves to Him, even a little Mexican from Bisbee can have a bowling alley. Can have a bowling alley. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. How it happens and how it's happening, I've got only one answer. Jesus. That's the only one. That's all I've got to say. People ask, how are you doing? Jesus. Hallelujah. The banker, yeah, how did you? Jesus. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Because God has a purpose and a plan. How many of you know that? For each and every one of you, I was at a wedding last night, and a young lady stopped me. She was kind of large with child. If that even says that. And it was after the wedding ceremony part, and I was walking, and she stopped me. She said, Reverend, me? You talking to me? She goes, can you pray for me and my baby? I said, absolutely. Praise God. She told me his name is Guillermo. How many know what Guillermo means? Bill. It's a Spanish for Bill. I said, absolutely. Let's pray for her. Prayed for her. Asked the Lord I was asking the Lord, fill him in the womb. The little baby's name. I said, Lord, fill him in the womb. And I was going to say, come on, Lord, do what you did with, who was it? Was it Elizabeth? Where John jumped in her womb. I said, come on, do it, Lord. Let's. And she goes, it didn't happen, but then that's okay. That's all right. But I told her, you know, hey, man, God got a purpose for that child. Do not speak anything contrary to what God would speak to you about your child. And she said thank you and went her way. I was getting ready to leave, and her husband grabbed me. I didn't know it was her husband. He says, hey, my name's Guillermo. You prayed for my wife and my son. I said, yeah, I did. And that was a cool thing. He goes, I'm a Christian, and I appreciate it. And I want you to pray with me one more time so that I can agree with what you said. And I said, Lord, bless this family. Let your anointing, which is the most precious thing in the world. Do you know that? That the anointing is the most precious thing in the world today? Let the anointing of God be upon these children. And I'll tell you what, I believe God is saying yes and amen to that. I believe God said, yeah, that's good. That's all right. Can I tell you folks, all those kids that are in that back room back there, the anointing of God's upon them. Because of what we've asked for, what's going on, because, you know what? I'm praying that every child that's in a church in anywhere in this area, let the anointing of God be put upon them. They go into their schools, they go, and then, man, there's something about the anointing of God. You know, can I tell you that sometimes you will say things you never even thought you'd say because of the anointing that comes upon you at that time. And if our children can be carrying that anointing, even unknowingly, they will say things. How many know kids say things? Yeah. Is that right? My tata kicked the dog the other day. He's like, shut up. Don't say anything about that. But yet it come out. Yeah, I was like, get out of here. Cool. Kids will say anything, is that right? But do you know that if there's an anointing upon it, how powerful can that be? So pray for your children, is that right? Pray for the children. Pray for these young men and women. All of these young men and women. Yeah, come on, isn't that right? Come on, blow your whistle one time. Come on. I mean, you like that whistle, man. There was something about that whistle during that song, man. Just charged me up.
Amen.
But pray. Folks, can I tell you, the less time you have thinking, meditating on your problem, and the more time you have praying for whatever and everything's around you, you will be so much better off. Can I tell you that? Can I tell you that? Because God is doing something. Hallelujah. Pat and I were talking the other day about we believe this train is on the tracks. How many of you know what I mean? Sometimes, and nothing worse than a church headed for a car, for a train wreck. Is that right? Come on, man. And we were just saying, you know what? We believe the train is on the tracks, and the engine is pulling. You know who the engine is? The Holy Ghost, and he's pulling, and he's starting to pull. Everybody, go like this. Can I get anybody to do this? Chooka, chooka. You guys have seen a train do that? Chooka, 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 chooka. And you know what? It might have started out a little bit like this earlier, but I can feel these things starting to move. I can feel it. How many of you can feel it? How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say we're going to feel it? This train is on the track. And I believe, have you ever been to Disneyland? Anybody been to Disneyland?
Yeah.
They got a thing called a fast track there. Is that right? What does that mean? You get to the head of the line, man. You get up there front. And folks, I believe God has placed us on a fast track. That's why it's so important for you to stay in the Word of God on your own. That's why it's so important for you to go to the Word of God, go to your prayer closet and pray and ask God, what do you got for me? Show me something. Because I believe God is talking more than He's ever talked. How do you know that? Do you know that? Everything around us is speaking to us about what God is doing. How fast is technology flying? Is it flying fast? You see, it's telling us something. The kingdom of God is the same way. It's even faster if we'll believe it. The kingdom of God is moving at us. Can I tell you this? Light speed. The speed of light. Because the gospel is light. And we're on a fast track. God is saying things to us. And it only comes to you in your personal time. Oh, this is a great time. And I believe God speaks to everybody's heart in the house. But your own personal time, you need to be staying in the Word of God, looking to see what God is saying to you personally, and allowing Him to strengthen you and build you. And you watch what happens here. Because of the fast track that He's gotten us on, people are going to be coming and coming and coming. And then they're going to be going and going and going. Is that crazy? Is that okay with you if people come and go? Because I'm telling you, God will bring them in, train them, teach them. Boom, they'll go somewhere. They'll catch something. All they've got to catch is the Holy Ghost. That's all you need. Can I tell you that? That's why I'm praying for my grandkids. I said, I'm speaking into their lives. I'm saying, man, Father, fill them with your Spirit. Fill them. Because when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we are prepared for anything that's down the road. And God is going to use that. Is that right? It's cool, man. We're on a fast track. God is preparing the earth for the revelation of the body of Christ in a way that's never seen it before. Is that cool? To where we are taking authority over things. Can I tell you that sickness needs something to take authority over? How many of you have been in a hospital lately? I was in a hospital just this last week with my son. There has been things going around my family that I'm really, tell you the truth, I'm really getting really tired of it. You know what I'm saying? I said, man, God, I'm tired of this stuff. I'm tired of this stuff. I've taken authority over it. Hallelujah. How do you get through it? The Holy Ghost. Only way. Only way. Can I tell you, those doctors in that hospital that I was at, they look like my youth group.
Yeah.
Am I that old?
Yeah.
Kids, man, they look like a bunch of kids, man. What do you do? I'm a doctor. Oh, cool. Man. Yeah. I mean, can I tell you? I mean, and I'll tell you, they've been trained to operate in certain ways. But the kingdom of God is in the earth for a reason, that we speak into the lives of folks. Folks, I believe that a couple of you can go down to the hospital and say, all right, it's time. Clear them out. Lord, hallelujah. Because it's not you, it's him that dwells in you. It's called the anointing of God. It's what Peter had when he walked down the street. And the Bible says that his shadow was hitting the people. Is that right? Sas, they were healed. Sas, they were healed. Well, the sun only shines on one side most of the time. The shadow is generally only on one side. Is that? What about the folks over here? It wasn't the shadow. It was the anointing. It was the anointing. That's what was happening. And folks, every one of you in the house have got that anointing if Christ dwells in your heart. Isn't that crazy? Touch the lives. If we didn't have a job to do, folks, he could save us and get us off the planet. Is that right? But we've got a job to do. Hallelujah. And it's not to sit behind closed doors and, you know, go to church on Sunday. God has purpose and plan for each and every one of you. There's somebody around you that's saying, that God is saying, just open your mouth. Just speak something to them. And you watch what God does. It's crazy. I don't know why I'm here. I'm at this position. I mean, I should be preaching by now. Am I preaching?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I think I might be prophesying a little bit to you. Know that God has something for you this week, this day. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. Is that right? I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it. Hallelujah. Because God is good. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. Boy, I can just kind of just sit here and just wait just a little bit because of the Lord, because of the presence of God. But I know you guys got to go eat lunch. Hallelujah. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. I love it. Glory to God. Do you know I exalt thee? Do you guys know I exalt thee? Have you got I exalt thee? I feel like worshiping just a little bit more. How many guys say, yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See if the team can get the music up here real quick. I thank God for Abe and Micaiah who went to take the young folks to camp. Yeah, and I know the feeling. They're beat up. Probably on the couch right now or on their bed. Feels good to be home. Hallelujah. But camp is something that's a treasure. How many have been to camps before that? They're such a treasure. They are, man. Set yourself aside for God. Let God speak to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sorry, I just sprung it on him. So. You know, God is worthy of praise, of glory, of honor, to be exalted above everything. Is that right? Hallelujah. How many of you know that God wants to be first in your life? Do you know that? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to him. Hallelujah. 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 Sorry, guys. Sorry. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I exalt thee. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth.
Yeah, come on.
Thou art exalted far above all God.
Yes, Lord.
For Thou, O above all the earth, Thou art exalted far above all God.
Hallelujah.
And I exalt Thee, I
thank you. Yes, Lord, we do exalt you. Father, you are worthy of every ounce of worship and praise in our hearts, Lord. You are worthy. Lord, if we'd only learn that, Lord. You are worthy, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We honor you this morning, Father. We honor you. We honor you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you. Hallelujah. Well, let's give him a praise. Let's just give him a clap on him. Glory to God. Thank you, worship team. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, guys. Sorry to mess you up this morning, but I'll tell you what. I'm not sorry. Praise God, man. Hallelujah. Instant in season, out of season. Come on. Hallelujah. Honor. Honor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've been in the book of 1 Samuel. I've said this before, but it's actually the book of 1 Kings. 2 Kings is the second book of Samuel. 3 Kings is, and I know you're probably saying, this guy's already whack. My Bible says right here, there's a first, but actually these are accounts of David the king and Saul the king. I just can't seem to get out of this. These few chapters here in 1 Samuel, and a few weeks ago I talked about Hannah, how she couldn't have a child, and she was being troubled by her her husband's other wife, and Peninnah, and she was just talking to her, down, giving her just bad info. I mean, how many people ever talk down to you? I mean, Peninnah was actually giving her a hard time about her not having children, saying, bragging actually, saying, hey, I can have children, you can't. And it was really bothering Hannah. And she went to the temple and was crying out to God. And there's something about when you cry out to God that God really, his heart is to hear what your heart is crying, and his heart is also for you to hear what he's crying for you. And that's cool. And the Word of God says that God had actually shut up her womb, just closed her up so she couldn't have children. And so that piece right there is telling me that there was a purpose why he did that, because he knew she was a lady that would go and honor God by asking him to intervene for her. Do you know that when you ask God for something, you're honoring God? Do you know that? It's an honor to him. Hallelujah. I was that, like I say, the wedding I did last night, it was an honor for them to ask me to do their wedding, that I might represent God in their wedding. That's an honor. Speaking for God, being a mouthpiece for God, is an honor. It really is. It really is. And when you go to speak to somebody, even if it's, hey, you know what? God just loves you. He cares about you. He's not going to leave you by yourself. He's not going to forsake you. He's always with you. Just something very simple. You're opening that pathway for God to speak into their life, into their heart. And it's just incredible what God does and how he does it. How many of you know that God is a God of words? He's invisible. I mean, you know that God is invisible. You guys know that? Yeah, isn't that correct? And the Word, and he's always speaking, he's always saying something to us, but he speaks words to us. Is that right? That's why I stay in the Word of God. Don't listen to me. Listen to what the Word of God says and the Holy Spirit says to you in your closet. Get to know his voice. Get to know him, because he will not lead you in a direction that is contrary to what he says in his Word. He never will. You can be confident that God will watch over you and take care of you. Hallelujah. Well, Peninnah, God knew that Peninnah would call upon, oh, I'm sorry, God knew that Hannah would call upon him, because God needed a voice in the earth. And that voice was coming in the form of Samuel the prophet. How many of you guys like Samuel? I like this kid, man. After he was born, his mom weaned him, got him old enough to where the king the priest could take care of him without him having to do any kind of motherly type of help for him. She weaned him to go into the temple with Eli the priest. Because God needed a voice. Because at that time, Eli and his sons were not doing so good as far as priests in the kingdom of God. And that's where we're going to take up this story, because I believe God is trying to say something to us about the title for today's message is Honor Follows Honor. How do you know that? Honor follows honor. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, but we just want to kind of focus right now on the priesthood and what was happening in the temple at that time. So if you would open your Bibles to 1 Samuel, I'm going to start at chapter 2, verse 12. Glory to God. Father, thank you for your word, God. I thank you this morning, Lord, for your presence. And Lord, as we read your word, Father God, as we open the book and look at, Father, I just pray that you would show each and every one of us something we hadn't seen before. Give us, Father God, fresh bread that comes out of your holy ovens in heaven, Lord. Give us that bread this morning. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Start at verse 12. It says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came, and while the flesh was in seething, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck
chuck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came there. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest. For he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said to him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, then take as much as your soul desires, then he would answer, no. Nay, but thou shalt give it me now. And if not, I will take it by what? Force. I'll take it by force. Wherefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. These guys were doing something that was by law that the flesh from the bullock had to be, the fat on it had to be cut off and burned on the fire. But these guys wanted, they didn't want it where it was had been in water. They wanted it raw, and they wanted it with the fat on it. How many of you like steak with fat on it? I do. I mean, I'm going to get you hungry early here. Yeah, I mean, I like that. I like that little crispy edge that comes on the, I mean, but the law was that that fat would be cut off and burned in the fire. But these guys liked that fat. And what's crazy about it, they wanted it what their way, is that right? We want to do this our way, and if you don't, we will take it from you, and we will take it by force. This is no way for a priest to act. How many know that? These guys were violating, and God needed a voice. Hallelujah. So 1 Samuel, we're going to skip down to verses 24 and 28. 24 to 28 says, I should start at verse 22. Can you put 22? Oh, I did, huh? Okay. Starting at verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that what his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. I mean, well, that's not very good. These are priests, and they are actually going after the women that were coming to the temple. And man, I'll tell you what, the things are in a mess. How many say a mess? Everybody say these things are in a mess. Have you ever been in a mess? Yeah, yeah, I've been in messes. But this was a mess. These guys were the men of God, and they were doing things that they absolutely shouldn't do. And Eli is speaking to them. He says, and he said to them, why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Eli was the priest, the chief priest. It was his job to maintain order in the priesthood. Do you know that? There is something about the chief priest when he will not maintain the order that there's something that has to happen, and God's getting ready to let it happen. Is that okay? And Eli should have grabbed his son and said, man, you're out. You're out. This is not the word of the Lord. This is not what God is doing. He should have grabbed his sons. How many of you know sometimes we will put our children over God? Do you know that? Oh, I'm going to get in you here, man. Come on, man. Let it open. You know what? God wants first place in your life. He's talking to Eli. He'll be talking to him in a little bit. God wants first place in your life. And a lot of times, we will allow our family to be first place. God will take care of your family, but you gotta place him first. We sang a song a little while ago, means I exalt thee. I exalt thee. He is above all. How many know that? How many know we didn't create this thing, right? You guys all know that, right? That sun that's out there, we didn't create that. Is that right? The moon, the stars, and all that stuff, this universe that we're in, we didn't create that, did we? No. He is, you know, there's a reason why he demands preeminence, because he is preeminence. He is over everything. Isn't that crazy? He is all. Nothing
Nothing is over the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God the Father that we serve. There's nothing over. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. That's it. When did he start? Who knows? He's always been. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. We will allow things in our life to change the positioning. Do you hear me? We will allow family to pull it place. Not on purpose, because we love my family. Man, I love my family. I do. God knows that. But there is an order. How many know that? How many know that there's an order to things? See, that's what happened in the garden. There's an order. The connection to God is the first part of your order. Then everything after that is what the Word of God says. The Word of God says it this way. We're going to look at it later, but it says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. He is over. He has to be first. Hallelujah. It's his position in your life. That's who he is in your life. You allow your children to creep up over that position, things are out of order. And God will correct it. Is that okay? Can I tell you that? God is wise enough to bring some kind of dislocation event to help you to reconnect who's supposed to be first. It's him. Glory to God. Aren't you glad it's that way?
Yes.
I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad that he will remind me once in a while, I got to be first, Henry. You're right. That's right, God, you're right. God, how did that ever happen? How did I let that thing get over that? Come on. You ever gotten up in the morning, your problem is the first thing in your mind?
Yeah.
Don't let it do that. Stop it. Say, hold on. I'll deal with you later. Right now, I'm going to go to my God, and I'm going to let him be first. Hallelujah. I'm going to let him be first. God, you are first in my life. Not my problem. Not my lack. Not my confusion. You are first in my life, Lord, and that's how I want it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's crazy. I need to go to Samuel 27. Are we there? Can you get there? Oh, I haven't. I'm going to start verse 24. Name my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. One man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they listen not to the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. What they were doing was really bad. The verse 26 says, the child Samuel grew and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Verse 27 now says this, and there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest and offer upon my altar to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? Did I give to the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? God is reminding Eli through a prophet, saying, didn't I do this? I gave you everything you need, even all the offerings that you need. Everything that you need, I've given it to you. He's reminding him of that. You know, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says that God has given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's already given it to you. Do you know that? Do you know that everything you need, it's already in you? And the only way you're going to access it is if you're going to go to the Word of God, you're going to go pray, and you're going to find out what God has for you. But God is, by this prophet, reminding Eli that I've given you everything. I've already gave it to you. It's already all yours. And then he says this, wherefore, verse 29 says, wherefore, kick ye at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and you honor your sons above me. Do you hear what God is saying to him? He says, because you haven't corrected your sons in what they're doing, you are honoring them above me. Is that crazy? Can I tell you, sometimes we will let our children do things that they shouldn't be doing because we love them. We don't want to hurt them. We don't want to say anything that's going to, you know what? I'm telling you, correct your children. Is that okay? This is what God is saying to you. You have honored your sons above me, and what they're doing is very not good, very bad. And you've honored your sons above me to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore, the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from thee. And then he says, yes, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, and there shall not be an old man in your house. And you shall see an enemy in my habitation, and all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in your house forever. Talking to Eli. And the man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from my altar, shall be to consume your eyes and to grieve your heart, and all the increase of your house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign to thee, that there shall come upon thy two sons. This is the man that's talking to Eli, and he says this: upon your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, in one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left in their house shall come and crouch down to him for a piece of silver and for a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread. God was coming after Eli with the words from this prophet. And how many of you know that it wasn't too long after that that Israel went into battle with the Philistines, and it seemed like the battle wasn't going very good, so they said, you know what? Let's get the Ark of the Covenant. We'll get the presence of God out there. Is that cool? I'm going to tell you, that's a good idea. It really is. Except that the priests were not honoring God. So when they took that ark and put it out there in front, the enemy surrounded it, killed Hophni and Phinehas, and captured the ark and took it. Just like the prophet had said, this is what's going to happen. It's going to happen because you will not honor God. Later on, Phinehas' daughter was pregnant, and Eli the priest was sitting on a chair worrying about the Ark of the Covenant when he sees this guy coming towards him. It was the messenger coming from the battle, and he told them, the Ark has been taken away, and both your sons have been killed in one day, just like the Lord had said. Bothered Eli so much that Eli was a big man, he fell backwards and he broke his neck. And his daughter-in-law, while she was having the baby, the baby came out, was a little boy. She called him Ichabod. She said, because the glory of the Lord has departed. And she passed away. The impact of what happened because they would not honor God. They would not. They did not understand what they were doing and how bad it was. But what I like about this story is in the background, God is doing something different. Is that right? There's a little boy named Samuel that's growing up in this temple that's seeing everything and hearing everything. God has begun to speak to him. Hallelujah. Because of the fact that his mom honored God. She honored him. Hallelujah. I'll put up Proverbs. Look at this verse. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Oh, yeah. Glory to God. I think that. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. And then verse 10 says, so shall your barns be filled with plenty and your presses shall burst out with new wine. How many of you want your barns filled with plenty? How many? Raise your hand if you do. I know you're awake. Anybody that didn't raise their hand, I know you're sleeping. Praise God, man. Wake up, Dennis. Come on, man. I'm just kidding you. Hallelujah. Hey, how many want your barns filled with plenty?
Amen.
What does it say? It says, honor the Lord with your substance. Is that right? Honor the Lord with your substance. Hallelujah. And with the first fruits of your increase. Yeah. See, God's got a way of doing things. Is that right? Do you know that when you give, you're honoring the Lord? Do you know that? Pay your tithes, you give an offering, you go to somebody down the street, they need something, you give your time. I mean, whatever it is, you give, you're giving. I mean, that's cool. A lot of times we just think about this as, giving scripture, and I'm not trying to make you guys nervous because I'm not going to take an offering from you. Is that okay? So your wallet's shaking right now? Mm-mm. But I want to just bring out a couple of things in this. That word with your substance. Can you take a look at that? The Hebrew word is hon. Everybody say hon. It's H-O-W-N, hon. And it means honor the Lord with your ability or power. Isn't that cool? What can you do? Hey, what is it that you're good at? Are you good at playing drums, playing the guitar? You're good at prayer? Are you good? What is it that you're good at? Can I tell you something? Everybody's good at something. Some folks are good at staying home. some folks some folks are good on that remote. Is that right? What is it that you're good at? My nephew Frank's a mechanic like I've never seen. He can work on anything almost. Hallelujah. What are you good at? The word says here, honor him with what you're good at. Are you a cook? Honor him with what you're good at. Honor him with your substance, with your power. See, because when you're good at something, you've got an ability sometimes that, you know, like, man, I'm not much of a cook. I can cook eggs. I'm not, you know, I can do certain things. I'm not a good carpenter. Everything I build comes out crooked. I've got a saw that when I cut a board, it comes out. I go, how'd it go crooked? What day? It's all in the wrist. Hallelujah. What are you good at? Honor the Lord with it. See, a lot of times we quit honoring the Lord with what we're good at because somebody said something to us. Somebody made me mad. Somebody didn't pick me or whatever. So the part of honoring the Lord with your substance begins to be something that, I'm not going to do it. And folks, God has given you things. He's made you good. He's made you good. You can draw. You can write songs. You can do whatever it is. But yet you're going to hold back on it. You know what you're doing? The Word of God says you are covering the talent that He given you. Do you remember what happened to the person that covered the talent that He gave them? He goes, man, you knew that I was an austere man, a man that would demand from you. You knew it. Here, I'm going to give me yours, and I'm going to give it to this guy who got 10 other talents. Because you've got things that God has given you. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. He's speaking to you. You see, it's a way of honoring who He is by your giftings, by what He's given to you, the ability. Some of you ladies can cook like crazy. Is that right? And I thank God for you. Praise God. I'm going to get some weight. Honor God with your substance. Then He says this, and with the first fruits of all your increase. The first fruits of all your increase. And I'm not going to talk to you about tithes. Don't worry. your first fruits of all your increase. And that there's only one thing that I know that God wants me to talk to you about this morning concerning this first fruit of your increase. Do you know that every day is an increase to you? Do you know? Honor him with the first fruit of that new day. Is that right? It's an increase to you. You got a new day coming. You're getting older in the Lord. Is that all right? You got a new day coming. The first fruit of that day, honor the Lord. That's what he says. Is that right? Check this out. Look at this scripture. It says this. Go to Psalm 5, verse 1 through 3. 1, 2, and 3. We used to sing this psalm. It says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I cry. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto you and will look up. When are you to direct your prayer? When does he say is a good time for you? O Lord, in the morning, do it in the first fruit of every day. When you get up, let there come, Lord, I thank you for today. Is that right? Is that okay? Honor the Lord. That's all it says. Honor the Lord with your substance and your first fruit of your increase. A day, another day is an increase to you. It really is. And so God is saying, just honor me in it. Just honor me in it and watch what happens. Honor me. Go to the Word of God when you can. Find some time. Make time. Can I tell you that? A lot of, you know, folks will make time to go to college. They'll make time to go to a sporting event. They'll make the time. But when it comes to reading the Word of God, they will not make the time. And I'm going to tell you something. We, as a generation on a fast track in these things, we need to make the time and get into God's Word and allow Him to speak what He has for us for the day. Is that all right? You might not think that God's going to talk to you, but He will. He's always wanting to talk to you. He paid for your what?
Audience.
He paid for it so that you could hear him, because he's always heard you. But do you know, sometimes, folks, we have time. You know, what's God saying to you? Well, I don't know. Well, he is saying things to you. Maybe you're just not tuned in, but I'm going to tell you something. Getting up in the morning, say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will cry unto you, Lord. I will pray to you, Lord. I'm going to talk to you, Lord. What is it you have for today? And you watch what he brings to you, because he is interested. He is wanting to take you someplace, and that's cool. That's it. Psalm chapter 110, verses 1, 2, and 3. Hallelujah. The Lord said unto my Lord, he says, sit thou on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Can I say? And now, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of your enemies. I love this passage, man. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. And then he says this, from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of your youth. How many like the dew of your youth? How many of you like that? How many of you like youth? How many like it when you were young? Yeah, how many? Can I tell you something? It said that we're free. The word, we sang that this morning, we are free. Can I tell you that the Word of God has positioned you in a place where he says, listen to me, take my words, and I will give you the dew of your youth. I will strengthen you. That's what he's telling you in these scriptures. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. That's a good deal. How many know your enemies need to be shut up? Is that right? How many like that? Come on, man. He wants to take care of all those things that are troubling you, that are hurting you. And he wants to either push them out or show you how to take dominion over them. Because he says it right here. He says, the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Do you know what Zion is? Zion is your place. That secret place of the Most High that you have with God. Going into Zion, sometimes people think, well, it's Jerusalem. No, it's not. It is your private place with God. You find that place with him, and get, the Word of God says that he will give you strength in that place. And then he says this, rule in the midst of your enemies. That's cool. Because when you're in that place, he begins to speak things to you. And he begins to tell you about what's going on in your life. He'll help you there. And then you come out of that place. Let me just say this to you. You come out with a new saying, man, you know what? This cannot have any dominion over me at all. I'm going to rule over this. It will not tear me down. How many times, you know, most of the time things that are coming against you are to try to get you to stop doing what you're doing because the enemy is not wanting you to push forward. And you know what the enemy can be in your life? Your doubts, your unbelief. So it's time to go into the Word of God and say, hey, man, you know what? I'm going to believe you, Lord. I'm going to take what you've said, and I'm going to walk on. I'm going to walk. And it says in the womb of the morning, I'm going to get the dew of my youth. It's going to be strength to you. It's going to build you. It's going to strengthen you. God is after. He's after you being who you are in him. He really is. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. This is the scriptures I told you we're going to look at again. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus had just got through talking about if God clothes the birds, shall he not clothe you? If he feeds them, will he not feed you? He says, these are all the things that everybody else worries about. He says, don't worry about it. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things. Everything you need will be given to you. Everything. Nothing left out. God will give you everything you need. Hallelujah. What is it that you need? Talk to him about it. Do you need a job? Do you need, finances? Whatever it is you need, talk to him about it. Seek him about it. And you watch what he brings to you. Hallelujah. Honoring him. John chapter 5, verse 44. Now look. When you go after God, you're honoring him. But can I tell you, there's a danger in not honoring God. A real danger. And Jesus kind of hits it on the nose when he says, he's talking to the Pharisees. He says, how can you believe you receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God? Can I tell you? Listen, sometimes we want people to honor us. And so we do things because we want the honor that comes from people. And I'm going to tell you something, that is a very dangerous place to put yourself. Because when they let you down, you're not going to know what to do. And Jesus even says it. He even says, how can you believe? Can you maybe think that maybe when he says, how can you believe if you're seeking honor from those around you and you're not seeking honor from God? How can you? Could it be that it might be impossible to believe to that person that's looking for honor from folks around them rather than looking for honor from God? Could it be that? Could be the base of why religion without God is out there? Because they don't seeking God. They're not after God. So the things of God, when you speak it to them, they don't believe it. Why? Because they're not looking for the honor that comes from God. They're looking for the honor that comes from men. And can I tell you, I believe that's a base of religion. How many of you are religious in here? I'm not religious. I love God. I have a relationship with God. How many like that relationship that you have with God? That's what it's about. But folks, there's folks out there that, man, everything is based on... What? If it's not based on the Lord, what's it based on? What are they meeting for? Why are they even talking? Why are they, if they don't believe these things are real? Because they're believing, they're wanting the honor among each other rather than the honor that comes from God. Because when you honor God, as the Word of God told us earlier, I will honor you, is what he said. Honor me and I'll honor you. See, honor follows honor. Don't honor God, you're gonna get nothing. Is that right? If you're not honoring God, can I tell you that you might be dishonoring if you're a Christian, if you're a brother or sister in Christ. If you're not honoring him in your life as being first in your life, could it be That's why you're not receiving what he's trying to give you. Because the honor is out of position. You're looking for the honor from people rather than honor from men. I mean, from God. And it throws everything out of whack. Honor God, and he's going to honor you. Honor him first. Watch what happened to Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 says this. Hannah had honored God by going to God and asking God for a son. God gave her a son, opened her womb, gave her Samuel. She turns around, weans him, gives him right back to God, gives him to Eli, says he's forever, he can be in the... How hard would that be to you, Mom? Give up your son? Say, here, take care of him. That'd be pretty hard. It says this, Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went to their own home, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived. And the Bible says here, it says, bear three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. You see, when you honor God, God's going to honor you. Hannah honored God by going to God and asking for a son. God honored that. And then when she gave him to Eli, the priest opened it up again. And he said, three more boys, two girls. Hallelujah. You see, honor does follow honor. Hallelujah. When you honor God. Go back to Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. It says this. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled. Your presses shall burst out with new wine. Honor follows honor. When you honor him, your barns are going to burst out. I don't know if I want all you guys who are drinking wine, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to get new wine, and I think the new wine is the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Know that God is asking to be first in your life. Could we all stand? I just got a couple of questions I want to ask you. Is God really, really first in your life? Is he really? Have you placed him there and say, God, I might not know everything about you, and you know how many, none of us do. None of us know about the Lord. Everything about the Lord. So it's not important about you knowing everything about him. What's important is that your heart places him before everything in your life. Before your schooling, before your, that God finds that he is number one in your life. Is that happening? Or are you allowing things to get in the way? And sometimes we might not even realize what we're doing. we think it's okay, but maybe it's not okay with God. So I'm just going to ask you this morning that you evaluate your heart, that you say, God, am I placing my desires over you? Or is my desire to be with you? That should be the first and number one thing, that God is number one in your life. And when he is, you're honoring God in a way that is makes you unstoppable, because he will begin to speak to you and take you to all those things that he has promised you. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. Lord, if there is something in our lives that is taking the place of you, Father, we right now, we remove it from the throne of our heart, and we allow you to take that position once again, Father. Lord, We call you Lord. Be Lord of our lives, Father. Allow us to hear what you're saying. Allow us to know where you're taking us, Father. Father, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That is a thing to take home with you and ask yourself when you're home. It's easy to be a smiley Christian when everybody's around you. But go home and find out. Talk to God about it. Say, God, what's in my heart? That might be replacing you. Amen. Father, bless your people this morning. Bless them this week, Father God, as they go. Father, cause them to speak to those that don't know you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you for coming. God bless you guys.